Hey everyone.
Hola a todos.
This is Shahaira.
And this is Stephanie. And welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Whoa, I almost stole your line. I was about to take a deep breath. I'm like, and welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast. I don't know why. We have made it to the last episode of January. Woo. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It happened to be the very last day of January too.
Yeah.
The 31st.
I feel like it's been a long month.
Yes and no. I feel like it does. Mm-hmm. Yes, like reflecting, I'm like, oh, dang, like it's still January. But yeah. Then I'm also like, oh, my God, already. February is like up next already.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
That's true.
But anyways, hopefully February is full of nothing but good stuff for everyone. And yeah, como dice Steph, let's get into the case for today. Today's case actually was requested by Esperanza. I think you were like the first person to request it, but then I think we had multiple people request this case, and we're not gonna lie, it did take a while for us to get there because this case is just very like
disturbing.
Yeah, there you go. It's a disturbing case, and like every time that like we sat down trying to do it, like it was just kind of like okay. Yeah. But since a lot of people requested it, we're like, okay, we gotta push through. And I do believe it's a like more on the known side. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure a lot of y'all probably read the title and you guys are probably familiar with this one.
Yeah, this case really gets your stomach turning. Like I'm sitting here and I already know what we're gonna be saying. Mm-hmm. And it makes my tummy feel very like
yucky.
Yeah, it's a lot. So disclaimer, FYI, if you don't like those gruesome and disturbing, like emphasis on that, this case might not be the one, and y'all might want to step back on this week. But if you're interested, we are going to talk about the toy box killer, and his name is David Parker Ray. And he was known as a kidnapper, torturer, serial rapist, and also a suspected serial killer.
Yeah, so hang on for this one. So Steph kind of already gave you guys a heads up, but before we begin, we just always like to remind you guys, this is a true crime case, so we will be talking about sensitive topics. Entonces, antes de empezar, les queremos dar una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles. And like Steph said, if you do not like the dark cases, this is definitely a skip for you.
Y también queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. Okay, let's begin.
We mentioned in the intro, this is a potential serial killer, definitely like a rapist and a torturist. So in this case, like David was not the victim, but David was the person doing the evilness, if that makes sense. Entonces, there is a lot to this case. Y como siempre, vamos a empezar con un poquito background de quién era David Parker Ray. So David was born on November 6, 1939 in Belen, New Mexico.
Y de niño, él vivía con su hermana pequeña y con sus abuelos maternos on a small ranch. And it is said that his grandparents were more on the stricter side.
And we also did read about like his biological parents. So we read that his dad was actually an alcoholic and he was not a good influence whatsoever. He was very abusive to the kids. Y también cuando David era un niño, su papá le daba adult magazines, which honestly... It's very disturbing, I feel like, because David was still a kid and he was already like looking at all these images and already like having this certain image of what a woman is, you know, like just sexualizing the whole idea of a woman.
Yeah.
And I feel like this was kind of like the entry of all those ideas that got bedded into his mind.
Mm-hmm. Like the later actions that he did. A little kid should not have these types of magazines. And it's crazy that an adult is doing that or providing them.
And it's also like, in los días de hoy, it's so easy for like kids to access these type of videos and these type of images. But like back in his day, like there was no internet.
Yeah.
Like porn sites weren't a big thing like they are now. So it's like the fact that his dad was enabling it is just crazy to me.
Like physically giving him magazines. It's crazy. And well, because of this and his background and his upbringing, it began to develop these dark sexual fantasies during his teenage years. And it seems like he had, a tough upbringing because, of what he's being taught and also his dad is an alcoholic and he's not living with his parents. And then on top of that, he was also being bullied at school. So he kind of had like a lot to deal with. And so he began to start drinking alcohol and consuming other drugs to kind of cope with everything.
And I can just imagine like a young boy in his young teenage years. Like, we're not talking about him being like 17 or none of that. Uh-huh. Like, we're talking about early teenage years, like barely teenager, like 12, 13, 14. Mm-hmm. And he's already going through all of this. He's already starting to have these thoughts and he's taking drugs and alcohol on top of everything. Like, that's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
And just to like go to the extremes of how dark these fantasies were, we read que un día su hermanita encontró una libreta en donde he would draw like just different dibujos about these fantasies and kind of just write about like what he would want to do. And this is around the age that he was like 14 years old. Y de allí, when she saw that notebook, she never spoke to her brother again. Like, she just kept her distance. And as grownups, they just never interacted with each other again. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how bad she got scarred.
Yeah, like these drawings for a kid to be, you know, drawing like,
yeah,
what is going on in your head? Like, why are you drawing this? Like, kids should be, I don't know,
draw flowers, rainbows.
Yeah, other little things, right? Yeah. And so it was really alarming for her, and which that's the reason why like she just stopped talking to him. And moving along, it is believed that he began assaulting women as a young man. But this isn't proven. And we have a quote from him. And he said, "I've been raping ever since I was old enough to jerk off and tie little girls hands behind their back," end quote.
That is so disturbing. Like, for someone like that young to already have that mentality or to already be talking about women like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's disturbing. Like, there's nothing else to say but disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
And so moving along with like just a bit more background on him, después de que él se graduó de la high school, he was actually in the U.S. Army. Y allí él era un mecánico, and eventually he even received an honorable discharge.
He then worked as a maintenance guy for New Mexico Parks Department in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. Y allí trabajó toda su vida hasta que he was arrested.
And isn't it crazy? Like, he was just like, if you think about it, like, that's so many years that he was just like in this like constant state of life, like just constantly going to work and just, mm-hmm. you know, blending in with society. Like, he had a stable life by the sound of it. Like, you know, he went to work, had his home, you know, all this stuff. Pero en su mente todo era muy diferente.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
It's almost like no one can suspect, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe he could be an odd man, like, you know, mm-hmm. you know, weird things that he does or says here and there. But for the most part, he went unnoticed.
It's like the show You, right? From Netflix. Joe mm-hmm. was just an average guy, but average in reality, guy. He just had a lot.
Something, so much going on, right? Mm-hmm.
Y cuando él tenía 37 años, él conoció a una mujer que se llamaba Cindy Hendy. And she was also working at a state park, and she was actually fleeing from Washington State. She had convictions on grand theft and drug charges.
And just a quick fact, David had already been married before this relationship. He actually had been married 4 times, and he had 2 children. His daughter, Glenda Jesse, was actually an accomplice, which we'll get into later. But yeah, anyways, Cindy and David soon began a romantic relationship, y los dos compartían very violent sexual fantasies.
It was like they were literally uno para el otro in a very, like, disturbing way. And soon these fantasies started becoming real life. They created what we now know as the toy box. And I just think like the fact that he even named it is just so, it's so disturbing, you know?
Mm-hmm. The name, like, now what we know after researching, mm-hmm. right? To name it toy box is, I can't even describe it. And so this is, the toy box is David's torture room, and it was a repurposed soundproofed cargo trailer. So kind of like an RV type of mm-hmm. looking vehicle, ¿verdad? And this was located just outside his property in Elephant Butte, New Mexico.
And in his quote-unquote toy box, él tenía sex toys, torture implements, syringes, and I found it very disturbing how we read that he even had diagrams showing ways of how to inflict pain on other people. Like, that was his solely purpose, just to torture. Mm-hmm. And we also read how he even had a homemade electrical generator, you know, just to like electrocute some of his victims. And it's just, I don't know, it's beyond me. Like, in total, él gastó $100,000 on this whole entire setup. Like, $100,000?
It's so much money, even today.
Today, it's a lot of money. Like, that's like a, I just think about like those numbers, and I always think about like purchasing a home. You know what I mean? Like, those are big numbers. Yeah. Like, you're talking about big, big numbers. Y como dices tú, hace años, that's even
more
amount of money.
Yeah, that's wild. There are pictures of the RV mm-hmm. and the inside of it. And honestly, trigger warning, like, it's a lot to just see in a picture. So there's like pulleys and coffins, locks. It's just a lot. Mm-hmm. And he had all this set up just to torture the woman that he would capture. And yeah, like, I don't know, it all that money and all these tools and things like mm-hmm. that, like, it's just a well thought out plan. Like, this is what he likes doing. And yeah,
it was definitely like well thought out. I mean, I think about like getting like a little RV and maybe turning it into like a mobile restaurant or something, you know. I would have never think of something like so disturbing. And like we said, it really was all about torturing, because también leímos como el techo era todo espejo, because él quería que las víctimas pudieran ver todo lo que él les estaba haciendo a ellas.
It's so evil. Like, how and why would someone mm-hmm. want to do all this? And so David would kidnap maybe 4 to 5 women and keep them hostage for 2 to 3 months. Y ahí las tenía en su trailer, where he would rape them, torture them for hours and days with the surgical instruments that he had in there.
And he would basically do anything that he wanted to these poor women. And not only was it open for him, pero él también dejaba que sus amigos vinieran y les hicieran lo que ellos quisieran a las mujeres. And he also made it very clear to the woman that they were there to serve him, but they were also there to serve his girlfriend, Cindy. And so, yeah, like, she was a part of this whole operation, and she would also join in on the torturing and raping.
I'm speechless, and I just don't get how, like, David has these, like, thoughts himself, right? Mm-hmm. And then he finds this woman, Cindy, and they start dating. How do they cross, like, how do they have these conversations and realize that they have the same fantasies?
That is true.
Like, how did he happen to find the person that shares that and is okay with that?
How do you even bring it up that, like, oh, I have these thoughts in my mm-hmm. head? That is true. I never thought about that.
It's wild.
It is. I mean, it's like we say, cada cabeza es un mundo, you know? And this world that they have is definitely a scary one. Y entonces, ya después de que ellos les hacían lo que querían a las mujeres, he would then drug them so heavily so that they could forget everything that had happened, including who he was. And so after that, he would then abandon them on the side of the road.
David later did say that he would get off on mind games. And I have a quote from him, and I quote, "After we get completely through with you, you're going to be drugged up real heavy with a combination of sodium pentothal and phenobarbital. They are both hypnotic drugs that will make you extremely susceptible to hypnosis and auto-hypnosis and hypnotic suggestion. You're going to be kept drugged a couple of days while I play with your mind. By the time I get through brainwashing you, you're not going to remember a fucking thing about this little adventure." End quote. So it seems like, you know, maybe he's confessing this to investigators, but I also think he might be also telling his victims this when they first get to the trailer. And just imagine to have someone tell you this. It's so scary.
And it kind of like seems like this is like he would pick you up and then kind of just like go down like everything that he was going to do to you.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like that's like such a desperate feeling to just be sitting there locked up in this tiny room that looks horrible. Again, mm-hmm. if you see pictures and you just see everything around you, and you're just probably like,
yeah,
voy a hacer? Like, yeah. ¿Cómo voy a salir de aquí?
Yeah. And so for the most part, women would forget everything, but there were a handful that would remember some things.
And so the one that finally brought light to what David was doing was a woman named Cynthia Vigil. She was abducted from an Albuquerque parking lot by David and Cindy.
Ellos dos se la llevaron al trailer, where she was kept for 3 days, where she was tortured and raped. Pero al tercer día, Cynthia se pudo escapar. She was able to escape from this horrific trailer on March 22nd, 1999.
And honestly, it was all kind of by luck. I mean, ella trató and she fought really hard for her freedom, but I honestly do believe that she was very lucky that it worked out in her favor. So Cynthia dice que ella ese día esperó hasta que David se fue al trabajo y que después ella se pudo quitar like the chains that were holding her hands together because Cindy, which was again David's girlfriend, had left the keys on a nearby table.
I do think she was really lucky. Like it had to happen the way that it happened where like she left the keys there and she was, you know, saw that and took advantage of that knowing that there was only one of them there.
Yeah.
And so Cindy, the girlfriend, realized that Cynthia spotted the keys and was unlocking, you know, the locks. And she tried to stop her, but Cynthia managed to fight her off and also stab her and run away to freedom.
Like it literally was just like all a matter of play.
Mm-hmm.
And Cynthia says that when she was out of there, she was out. She took off running down the road y que ella estaba gritando que alguien por favor la ayudara. And thankfully, a nearby homeowner le pudo ayudar. She brought Cynthia into her home. She, you know, she comforted her. She gave her clothes because like she literally just ran out como ella pudo. And from there, they both called the police.
Y cuando la policía llegó, Cynthia les dijo todo lo que había pasado. And officials wasted no time and they headed over to the trailer. And that's where they arrested David and his accomplice.
And that is ultimately what put a stop to this toy box. But before Cynthia, there was other women. There was Angelica Montano, who also survived and who also made it out.
Ella dice que Cindy la había invitado a su casa to pick up some cake mix and that was when they had held her captive, but somehow, some way, she was able to convince them to release her along a highway.
And honestly, that's crazy to me, the fact that, I don't know qué les dijo, but she made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the next part is what makes us so mad. Y sé que también ustedes van a estar like, really, really mad about it. So Angelica says that ya la dejaron pues on the side of the road and that an off-duty officer picked her up. And, you know, I mean, she's in distress. She's telling him lo que acababa de pasar. And he was like, I don't believe you. Y que nomás la dejó al nearest bus stop. Y que se fue. And so later when she finally gets home, she says that she did call police, but that again, there was no follow-up with her.
That's crazy.
Right?
That's crazy. There was someone who made it out
mm-hmm.
and could have told them where this trailer was. All they had to go do was go check.
Just check it out. See if it was true or not, you know? And I was just like thinking like, imagine how much panic was running through her body, mm-hmm. through her voice, and they still were just like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah. They really... That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like this woman is, yeah, like you said, in so much distress, mm-hmm. but they like disregarded her story.
And you know, like, and also the thing was like, that could have been the stop to this, mm-hmm. but it continued and more women became victims of him because they didn't believe mm-hmm. this one woman.
Just because they didn't listen to her.
Yeah. And honestly, we don't know why they didn't listen to her. I don't know. And I don't know much of this woman, but I will say that her name does sound Hispanic, Latino.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that had anything to do with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're right.
Just a thought. I don't know.
And the last person that police were able to talk to was a woman by the name Kelly Garrett. And los investigadores were able to identify her from a videotape that they took from David.
And the videotape was dated from the year 1996. So it had been a while. And, you know, Kelly was the one in this video. And entonces, police were able to track her down. She was currently living in Colorado. And, you know, when investigators asked to speak to her, she said, yeah. And she told them everything that David had done to her.
And by videotapes, we mean, like, I think David would video record some of his victims, the things that he did. And so that's why they were able to identify this woman. And so she had her own story to tell. She said how she went out to play pool and that there she met up with Jessie, which is David's daughter, who then offered her a ride home, but instead ended up taking her to David's place.
And there she was held captive and she was tortured for 2 days until, again, David, for some reason, decided to take her back home. Which I think is very odd. Mm-hmm. Like, why? Like, why let her just go?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if his crimes escalated later.
Yeah, or maybe, like, because I know Kelly kind of knew Jessie.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, maybe. But we don't know why.
Yeah. Y cuando la dejó en su casa, he told Kelly's husband that he had found her walking down the beach and it seemed like she needed help.
And of course, once David la dejó, Kelly le dice a su esposo la verdad, you know, what really had happened, how she had actually been captive for 2 days and she was raped and she was tortured. And again, her husband didn't believe her. Like, isn't that crazy? Like,
yeah.
And I wonder, too, like, if she had, like, any bruises or any signs, you know? And so she said that because her husband didn't believe her and kind of just shut down her story, she did not find the need and decided to not call police to report David.
That's crazy. I'm really curious because he would drug them. Mm-hmm. So maybe she had, like, blurry memories. And then
maybe. And she wasn't too sure. And maybe she was also doubting herself. Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, okay, why was I thinking that, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder, I mean, who knows? I don't know if she moved on, but, like, felt like that was still holding her back. Like, mm-hmm. I should have spoken up. I don't know what she was thinking, but that's really unfortunate that her husband didn't believe her.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, at the end of the day, after Cynthia reported David was arrested, right? Like we mentioned. And so, ya que estaba, like, in custody, David's defense claimed that his trailer was part of his fantasy. That, you know, he had all these toys and all these gadgets because that's, you know, people have sexual fantasies. And that any sex that was happening in that trailer was consensual. But, of course, you know, after the trials and everything, David was convicted on all 12 counts. And he later did agree to plea bargain and was sentenced in 2001 to 224 years in prison for numerous offenses in the abduction and sexual torture of the woman that he would bring. And, you know, even though, like, he did confess, but it was also kind of, like, shaky because it seemed like, oh, yeah, okay, I tortured these women, but, oh, yeah, but, like, it was also consensual. But all in all, you know, investigators also did find a diary que he had kept. Y allí él escribía los nombres o que les hacía a las mujeres, like specifically like how he would torture them or, you know, that he would rape them. But he never wrote down where their bodies were, if any of them had died, if they made it out alive or not. So that was, like, interesting how he always kept that part out.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, all we really know was that he did claim to have abducted 40 women from across the United States. However, again, like, no bodies were ever found.
Which is always the tricky part in cases mm-hmm. when you don't have bodies. It's harder to confirm things.
Yeah.
And he's the one claiming this, but they don't have evidence. And on May 28th, 2002... David was taken to the Lee County Correctional Facility in Hobbs, New Mexico, to be questioned by state police. But before this could happen, he died from a heart attack. So I feel like we have a lot of unanswered questions because he didn't have the time or he didn't say it all in the very beginning.
Which is, like, crazy. Like, if you think about it, like, this man was horrible and he did horrible, horrible things. And, like, he was starting to, like, unleash everything de lo que él hizo. Mm-hmm. Le estaba empezando a decir los investigadores. And I feel like he kind of just left it halfway. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, the person that had the answers is now gone.
And as for Jesse, his daughter, she was charged with kidnapping and criminal sexual penetration, and she received a 30-month sentence with an additional 5 years to be served on probation.
I'm sorry, but that's nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you te prestaste a ayudarle in something so evil.
Like, even if she wasn't there every day, y aunque no fuera su idea, but yeah, she knew about it. Mm-hmm. She helped bring a few of, you know, his victims in, and like, 30-month sentence?
Yeah, and like now this person is out in society, which maybe, who knows, you know, right? She could be a changed woman, but it's a little scary that,
it is,
you know.
And it's also like, I don't know, if si le ayudaba a su papá and if she sometimes like join in on the action, like that means that you also kind of have these fantasies and now you're just out and it's like, okay, do you still have these fantasies?
Yeah.
I'm sure her 5-year probation is now over, right? Because this is like in early 2000s and now we're in 2024. So I don't know. What do y'all think? Do y'all think that she was able to completely let go of all the fantasies? And for Cindy, which was David's girlfriend, she actually testified against David in the year 2000. And she also received a sentence. She received 36 years for her role in the crimes. And she was then released in July 15th, 2019. So fairly recent, if we think about it. After she served 2 years of her parole in prison. So she is, again, also out.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that is the story of David Parker Ray, also known as a toy box killer. This is more, like Jahida said, more of the known, well-known cases. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more, like, episodes and podcasts and probably documentaries on this case because...
There's a lot.
It's a lot, to, you know.
There's a lot. There's like, I know like some episodes that go into like potential victims or like how some bodies were found and how they think that it might have been related to him. But because it was all just kind of like in the maybe, we decided to just kind of stick with what they actually knew.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And again, thank you to all the people that reached out with this case. I hope that you enjoyed this episode and that we did justice to it. And as always, if you have a request, feel free to send it over on Instagram, which is just at Cuento Crime Podcast. We're always on there checking our messages. So feel free to stop by with any requests or just any thoughts, comments, questions, concerns. We are here for it all. And yeah, just also a quick reminder, if you have the time and, you know, si te nace el corazón, you can always feel free to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Like Steph says, it helps the podcast grow. And again, we just always like reading kind words or also feedback. If you have any feedback, that's also very helpful.
Pretty please. Jahida said it this time, so y'all have to do it.
I was on a roll, sorry. But yeah, so we hope you all enjoyed this episode y aquí estaremos next Wednesday.